Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know that you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Want to let you know right off top, and we'll talk more about this next hour as well, but 30 minutes after we go off air on TECN-TV, we will be going live in India today. We're starting a little bit later than usual, but we are expecting a crowd of nearly 2,000. We'll be providing food for all of them, and I'll be sharing an expanded version of my testimony and an invitation and praying for healing and believing that God is going to do a miraculous work. We have been, for those that have been following us, you know that on Thursdays we do a service in India. We have had incredible numbers of salvations and healings in every service. Glory to God. The Word of God says, these signs shall follow those that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we are watching Amen. That take place. We're watching that take place. So I just encourage you to be praying for us as we do this. You can support us at ChosenGenerationRadio.com by clicking on the donate button. And we will appreciate those donations. We're putting in two more wells this month. That'll bring our total to 44 communities. And anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 people are impacted by each well, and we've got 42 of them right now. We're up to over 125,000 people every day whose lives are being changed by the fact that they have access to fresh, clean water every day. And I can tell you, because our well here in Texas went dry last week. We just had to have it dropped 120 feet. Not having water, yeah, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And we're so used to it here. We're spoiled by it, Pastor Raphael, aren't we?
Absolutely. We live in heaven and we don't realize it.
No doubt. No doubt. In spite of everything that's going on, in spite of all the stuff that is happening and the efforts of evil that are happening, we really do and are hanging on to and still have the greatest country in the world, and
absolutely.
And we have an opportunity because of all of that good seed of the word that's gone into the ground here in this country to still bring forth the light.
You know, the word of God says that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish a purpose wherein he sent it. But we need to stand on that word and keep sharing the word and expect the fruit to come.
Amen.
Because it will produce fruit, everlasting fruit.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, sometimes that we are afraid. Fear causes a lot of the issues that we face. And I get it. Fear is it's overwhelming sometimes. The feelings of the enemy and how he attacks us and how he goes after us, you know, certain uncertainties that crop up can cause that, and that's why it's so important for us to just keep coming back to understanding the faith that we've been given.
And you know, fear is a consequence of lack of identity. Mm-hmm. Christians do not know who they are or whose they are. And therefore, they live in defeat because they don't understand the completed work of the cross. They have a very superficial understanding of salvation. Colossians 1:13 says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. We've been translated from one kingdom to another kingdom, and in this other kingdom, Satan has no authority whatsoever ever other than the authority you give him. Now, because of your ignorance, you may give him authority, but you don't have to. You have to give him permission for him to operate in your life. And Christians need to be aware of this. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. We absolutely are. You know, I was on a call last night with a brother that that was deeply involved in witchcraft and in the satanic, and he's now a believer and follower of Christ and talks about, you know, deliverance and what have you. But one of the things that he said last night was is that we need to understand who we are in Christ. It's Amen. So important for us to get who we are in Christ and then recognize that the devil's, you know, greatest weapon is temptation. He's always hitting us with temptation, but we have been given a way out, always, always.
And the devil has no new tricks. He came to Eve in the garden. Did God really say?
Yeah.
Did God really say? He will come questioning the word of God. That's the same thing he did with Jesus in the wilderness. And he hasn't changed. So we need to be rooted on the word of God. That is our final authority. That's why it's so very important that we are in the word every day. Every day.
It's, you know, I was on the prayer call that I do. I'm involved with a prayer call on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 a.m. Texas time. And you know, one of the verses that we talk about in relative to understanding where we are right now is 2 Timothy chapter 3, right? You know, perilous times, and we talk about all those things and the attributes of that, and we can see how people are behaving in that way. But it's interesting to note that in that same chapter, Paul writes these words: all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is working in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. He's put it in you. Psalm 139, and that my soul knows very well. We're created understanding and being able to comprehend this gift of salvation that was to come and usher us into the kingdom that you're talking about, which, by the way, Jesus Christ pronounced, right? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't say, oh, well, you know what? Listen, keep messing up. You're going to be half saved until you get to heaven. No. You're going to be fully completed. You are complete in him. Colossians 2:9. You are complete in him now.
Absolutely. And, you know, in one of my trips to Israel, I was at Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was the most idolatrous city in the time of Jesus. It was a city where they sacrificed babies to the devil. They threw babies down a deep pit that they called the gates of hell. It was this place where Jesus asked the disciples, whom do you say that I am? And Peter made that glorious declaration, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock, not Peter, but the declaration of Peter, thou Amen. Art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Hallelujah.
Upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against
Woo!
It. If you were to ask 100 pastors, what does that word church, that word ecclesia mean? Probably all of them will say, well, it means the called out ones. And that's not incorrect, but that was not the meaning of that word 2,000 years ago when Jesus uttered it. In the time of Jesus, the time ecclesia meant the ruling class, the governing body, the ones who led everybody else in that city state. When you understand that, you understand that when Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that is not a defensive statement. That is an offensive statement. We kick down the gates of hell.
Hallelujah.
We storm the gates of hell. And then we tie that with Matthew 28:18. Jesus says, all power, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. What are the next three words, beginning of verse 19? Go ye therefore. So Jesus is saying, because all power and authority has been given unto me, therefore you go. That Amen. Is a delegation of authority. Jesus has delegated his authority to you and I to go on the authority of the name of Jesus and take back the territory that the enemy has usurped. And most Christians are unaware of that power and that authority. And that's why they're walking in defeat.
Well, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You know, the act of salvation is a violent act because your old man has to die. Your old man has to be crucified, and you have to understand that he is. Your old nature Amen. Is Amen. Crucified. Crucified. It dies. You've got to let it die. Don't try to pick it up again. Don't try to revive it. I've heard pastors for years talk about, well, you know, we'll just clean the fish. No, we're not cleaning fish. Okay?
No.
We're not cleaning fish. We're killing old natures. We're killing old natures.
I was teaching precisely on that yesterday. You know, there are so many, there are whole denominations that teach that you have two natures. The new nature and the old nature. That is not theologically correct. Your old nature died at the cross the moment you came to Christ.
Right.
Your new nature is gone. You do not have two natures. And when Paul talks about the flesh in Romans chapter 7, he makes that very clear. Most people misunderstand Romans chapter 7. They think it's a chapter of struggle, a chapter of defeat is nothing of the sort. It's a chapter of victory. Paul says, that which I wish to do, what is it that Paul wishes to do? Good. That's a new nature. He says, that I don't do, but that which I don't wish to do, which is evil, that I do. But then he says, but it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in my members. The members are the soul, mind, will, and emotions. It's not a second nature. It's your soul, mind, will, and emotions. And for some of those who came to Christ at an older age, we have a lot of bad programming in our mind. So we need to renew our mind by the daily washing of the water by the Word of God, according to Ephesians 5:26. And we do that by exercising Joshua 1:8, and be meditating on the Word of God day and night. And when we do that, we can replace the old programming with new programming. And when you do that, then your will line up with your mind, and your will can control your emotions. But most people live controlled by their emotions instead of being controlled by their renewed minds. And that's why they walk in defeat.
Well, you have to, and that supernatural work, it's one of will, but it's also one of the spirit transforming. There's a change that takes place.
Of course.
I mean, there's
what we have to do in our. I was talking about what we have to do in our soul,
right?
And we by renewing our minds with the Word of God.
Well, you you want to feed. I mean, I don't know. I believe that we do kill the old man, so that old man is no longer is no longer there. The problem, I think, Raphael, is that we keep picking him up.
We don't believe the reality of what's true.
Right. We don't believe the full measure of what Christ did on the cross. We don't believe have fully been saved. We're much like, and it's interesting, and I would encourage people to read the book of Hebrews, because that's the same problem that the Jews were having. They were saying, well, you know, he hadn't come back, and we're not seeing change and all of these things. And so Paul writes to the Hebrews and says, look, what Jesus did was supreme, it was superior, and it is complete. He did it in full. He's not going to have to do it again. And you don't need to start doing sacrifices. You don't need to start doing these things, because the Messiah has come and you have been redeemed. Israel, you have been redeemed.
You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that old things are gone, that everything, all things have become new.
Mm-hmm.
So who you were ceased to exist when you came to Christ.
It's really powerful to grab a hold of that and recognize that. And I was going over some notes last night, because I'm going to be teaching tonight. But in one of the things that I'll be sharing tonight, he talks about how he has written now his word on our heart.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And of course, then that ties into where John speaks about that, you know, you're going to be, how do you show love towards one another? How do you show love towards the Father? Well, by following the commandments. But following the commandments is done out of love, and it's no longer egregious. So back to what you were talking about, right? That struggle. You're set free from that struggle because of what he's done. But that doesn't mean, okay, well, now I'm going to set this aside. No, in fact, more so it means that this is your food. This Amen. Is your food. This
and
is
you eat every day.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it just, you know, I came up under a great man of faith, Dr. John Holler, and I'll never forget when my wife and I got married. One of the comments that she made to me after she had met Dr. Holler years ago, she said, "My goodness," and she says this about you, by the way, Raphael, as well. She said, "Everything he says, he just quotes the Bible. He just quotes the Word. He just everything is." Is the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Folks, I'm telling you, it's life.
Word, thine word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need to have the word of God hidden in our hearts. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, it will come up when you need it. And we need to speak the word. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we need to speak life. And unfortunately, too many Christians speak death all the time.
And we curse ourselves. When we do that so often, we do it about us. We say it about ourselves. We curse our own selves. I just feel led to do this. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for every person listening right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Blood, cross, resurrection, and ascension, of the true Lord Jesus Christ in Nazareth that came in the flesh, I cancel every self-professed curse that we have Amen. Said against ourselves right now. Right now, let it be burned up, and I ask the angels to take those things and any demonic forces or anything else that's attached to them and cast them into the abyss. And let only the promises of God remain in us and around us. Renew our minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. My brother, it is just a matter of communing with God. Mm. We need to be in communion with God 24/7. We need to walk in the awareness that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. You know, we say that, but people don't act on the basis of that reality. He's always with you. We need to be more God-conscious instead of self-conscious.
You know, when folks, you know, they talk about, you know, well, how, you know, how do you hear, you know, how do you hear God? I'll ask them. I'll say, well, do you talk to yourself? I mean, in your mind, do you have conversations? Do you talk to yourself? And most people do. I mean, it's not weird. You're thinking things out in your head. You're thinking things out. How often
why talk to themselves? Well, every once in a while, you got to talk to somebody intelligent, and every once in a while, you have to listen to somebody intelligent.
There you go. I love it. Well, so in those conversations, oftentimes people will also hear, I don't know, it's have you ever seen those cartoons where you got, you know, one guy sitting on one shoulder and one guy sitting on the other? There's that that's going on. So what I say is this: understand that one of those voices here that wants to speak to you is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to speak to you. So invite Him to do that. Invite Him and give Him permission to be one of those thought streams that you're having, those conversations that you're consistently having. And then as that still small voice gives you unction, as you were saying, you know, we talk about, you know, life and death in the power of the tongue. In that same proverb, it talks about that trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. Begin to acknowledge Him as He gives you guidance and direction. And as you do, that voice gets louder in your mind.
Amen. 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 As I said, instead of being self-conscious, we need to be God-conscious.
Mm. Amen. It's so critically important, and especially in the day and age that we're in right now, with everything that's happening, with everything that is going on strategically, it's so important. And you know, I think there's a turn. I know that everybody's concerned about the darkness and the characteristics that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and what's going on with regards to that, so much violence and crime and just so many of those kinds of things that are going on. But, you know, I think back to, and it was something that was brought up by Lonnie Frisbee in the Jesus Revolution, where he talks to Chuck Smith and he says, look, you know, these young people are looking for something. They're trying everything because they're looking for a solution. And we're it. We have the solution. The solution is Jesus Christ. But if we're not fully convinced of that, if we're not walking in it in a way that evidences our fully convicted knowledge of what He has done for us, then,
you know, when you mentioned that reminds me of what I consider the greatest chapter on faith in the Bible, and it's not Hebrews 11, it's Romans chapter 4, where it says that Abraham considered not his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God with unbelief, but he was fully persuaded that what God said, He was also able to accomplish. Mm. We have to get to the point that we are fully persuaded. God said it, and it is so, period.
You know, and as you know, Pastor, I've been through a couple of things in my life, from being given 3 to 6 months to live to the catastrophic car accident that I was in, you know, 6 years ago. And I've rediscovered some of the notes and some of the messages that God gave me 20-something years ago. And the underlying theme of what the Lord was speaking to me and through me then was about faith that perseveres. The necessity believe in the midst of the greatest storms in your life, to be assured by faith, the faith of the Son of God working in us, hey, God's doing something here.
Amen, amen, amen.
And man, I'm telling you, it because we're all going to face those. We're going to have our Garden of Gethsemane moments. I mean, so many people face those Garden of Gethsemane type of moments. And we need to know that Jesus Christ is with us in that garden and that he is equipping us to take the next steps to fulfill his plan and purpose.
Amen. And his purpose is for good and not for evil.
Amen.
And his purpose ultimately is our communion with him for all eternity. In the light of eternity, this is for a wink right now. And we got to take it one day at a time and be fully persuaded. Fully persuaded.
And sometimes, and it's okay, and I'm talking to somebody, but sometimes it's okay to just take it moment by moment. It really is. It's okay to get from 1 hour to the next. I'll tell you, when I was lying in that hospital bed, and you know, and all the medical people were saying, you know, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it. Look, for me, it was literally down to just take that next breath.
Well, it's like the old song, one day at a time.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And to know, and my wife told me recently, she said, you know, you had obviously a lot of moments of being unconscious, but she said when you would come to consciousness, you would start warring. You just started speaking spiritual warfare prayers and declarations, and then you would nod back off. And she said, watching that, and then, of course, being in ICU and seeing, and it was hard because there were people that were around me and rooms around me that didn't make it. But she said the thing that was different was the places where prayer was being professed and where faith was being spoken. And she said, what God prepared you to do by preparing you to have faith in the midst of all of that is what brought you back to us.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, we're not going anywhere until our assignment is finished, my brother.
Amen.
And God has given you a huge assignment, and you're seeing the fruits of it.
And I'm just so humbled by what he continues, you know, to do and to allow me to be a part of and be engaged in and to bring a message each and every day that is undergirded by the reality that the only answer to every single issue that we're facing in our world today is to come back to the cross and to come back to God's purpose, plan, and his values. His values. I keep hearing people talk about, well, you know, we've got to make the Bible culturally relevant. No. What we have to do is we have to show people how Scripture creates culture, not how culture rewrites Scripture.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. See, we need to, the problem is we need to understand. I think probably I keep quoting the scriptures all the time, and that is John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Hallelujah.
And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Mm-hmm. Those three verses tell you that Jesus and the Bible are one and the same. Jesus and the Word of God are one and the same. And if you understand that, really understand that, you'll have a different respect for the Bible. And you will commune with the Bible, because communing with the Bible is communing with God. That is the victory. He is the victory. And we need to just take it as our daily bread, our daily food.
Yeah, you know, it is a lie, in my opinion. It is a lie from the pit of hell when people start degrading this book and saying, well, it's just a bunch of words written by men.
No, it is
not. Don't buy that, folks. Don't buy that.
You have 40 authors over a period of 1,600 years, and there is no contradiction. Only God could do that.
And what you just said about Jesus Christ and the Word, and him being the Word, makes the attack on Scripture should come into focus for us.
Yes.
That's why Satan attacks Scripture and the validity of Scripture. And that's why we have these cemeteries that are training up people to believe that this is just a book of suggestions and fables and allegories and such, as opposed to the actual Word of God by which we are called to live. It's something else.
You know, you heard the story about this university professor that is trying to mock Christians, and this girl keeps pushing back. And so he says, well, do you really believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? And she says, yes, I do. Well, that's impossible, says the professor. A whale has such a small throat, there's no way he can swallow it. How can you believe that? She says, well, I believe it. And I'll tell you what, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jesus to explain it. And she says, well, what about if he is not there? If Jonah is not there, what are you going to say? Well, then you ask him. If he's not there, he can
help. Well, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it was either my son or my wife had done some study into that, and there's a more modern story about someone that actually was swallowed by a whale.
But nevertheless, God is God. So physical impossibilities are meaningless when you talk about God. God is the master of the universe.
Well,
But that reasoning to me does not invalidate the Bible at all. It just on the contrary, it means God is God. God can go beyond our reasoning.
And Paul writes that.
If we could understand God perfectly, we would be God.
Paul writes that, as a matter of fact, and you know this because you've called me and left voicemail messages. My voicemail quotes the scripture that says, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can think or ask, according Amen. To the power that works in us. And so often our questions that we ask and the things that we, as questions are framed for us, they're framed predicated on this idea. Here's our box, and we're going to drop God into our box, and then we're going to create the scenario as if we are God.
Mm-hmm.
And we yes. need to understand that God exists outside of all of this, outside of all time, space, and dimension, because he created all time, space, and dimension.
And as a matter of fact, it is even interesting how even the so-called scientists, the more they explore, the more instead of trying, they keep trying to disprove the Bible, and the more they discover it, more it corroborates the Bible.
Well, and that was my whole point with talking about that, and I'll look it up here in a second, but that was my whole point is that, you know, the more that man attempts to contradict God or to call God into question or call his word into question, the more that archaeology and all of the attempts, the scientific efforts simply prove that what the word of God says is true.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, and that goes back to, you know, there's arguments in Christianity about the sovereignty of God. To me, the sovereignty of God is the comfort point, because I mean, the fact that he is sovereign over all of this gives me incredible confidence, because I know that, as you said earlier in our conversation, no matter what happens, no matter what is going on, I know that my sovereign God is working out something for good. And Amen. You mentioned having an eternal perspective. Remember, and Paul writes this, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. But then he goes on and he says, but for your sakes, it's better that I remain than that I go yep. right now.
Yep.
And yep. so many of us are in that, you know, I mean, I went and God sent me back because it was better that I remain here than that I go at that time. Better for my family, better for, well, now looking at, you know, what's happened the last 4 years, certainly, you know, impactful and better for those thousands of people that we've been able to be a blessing to and touch and change the lives of in India. And not just in India, but there's tentacles that are touching all around the world. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
And it's all to the glory of God.
Amen.
Bottom line, we do all to the glory of God. And he's glorified in and through us when we just follow his directions.
He's the one that does it. He's the one that makes the changes. I mean, it's amazing to me to sit, you know, and now, you know, thanks to my son, I've got this office space, if you will, this studio space here at our house. But, you know, initially I was, you know, just kind of climbing out of bed into my wheelchair and rolling up to a desk in the corner of my bedroom. and that's where, you know, that was where it started. And it was amazing to me to connect around the world and then get reports back of people being saved and people being healed. And
see, the word will not return void unto you, but it will accomplish a purpose wherein Christ sent it.
Amen.
The word will accomplish its work.
Amen.
Because the word is him.
Yes.
The word is him.
Yes. Yes. And you know, when we talk about, you know, all of the darkness that we're facing today, folks, the hope and the light that is the answer to all of this is found in your own personal encounter with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your personal decision to come to the cross and get on your knees and say, I surrender.
There is liberty in that. Total, absolute liberty, because all of a sudden you are loose from the clutches of the devil and you are enter into a marvelous companionship and intimacy with Almighty God. And I'll tell you, for those that think that the Christian life is a boring life, it's the most exciting life there is, because you are communing with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will direct your path. If you are willing, he will direct your every step.
Amen.
And he will take you into places that you'll never be, and you will touch eternally lives because of your obedience to his word.
It is truly humbling and amazing. And unfortunately, you know, what took place was the glorification of sin. It, you know, sin became, you know, well, I've got to give this up, and I've got to listen. You know, I remember years back having Ken Hutchison on before he went to glory, and I didn't know when he first came on my program that he was had been battling cancer. I didn't know, but the analogy that the Lord had given me as we were speaking was that of a cancer patient. And imagining that you had a vial that you could inject and give this cancer patient the cure that would end their cancer battle. Cancer would be removed from their body fully and completely. And the question, you know, that I posed was, is would there be a cancer patient that would say, well, listen, I'll take... you know, I'll take 90% of that, but leave me 10, because, you know, I want to have 10%. No. And folks, you've got to understand that sin is cancer. Sin is death. And we've misconstrued that as well. You're attracted to, you know, you're a young guy and you're attracted to a lady. That's not sin to be attracted to a woman. It's not sin to be attracted. What is sin is the fornication.
Yes.
That's sin. And in reality, in a pragmatic sense, you know, that's why we have this epidemic of STDs. And unfortunately, we have a whole bunch of young people who were encouraged by a secular indoctrination system that began having sex at 12, 13, 14 years of age, and now in their early and mid-20s are settling down, realizing all of that, and guess what? They're sterile, Pastor.
Well, it's gotten beyond that now. Now, with this concept of transgenderism that is invading our world, and we need to realize what is behind transgenderism. It's basically an attack against God. It's basically telling a young boy, God made a mistake. You're not a boy, you are a girl. Telling a little girl, God made a mistake. You're not a girl, you are a boy. God does not make mistakes. But that's the bottom line. It is discrediting the whole creation and destroying the fundamental basis of society, which is the family. Let me tell you, there is a huge political component of transgenderism. and it is the destruction of society by the destruction of the family. And that is just a fundamental tenet of communism. You must destroy the concept of God, and you must destroy all loyalty except to almighty government. That's what is behind transgenderism. And it's destroying our young people today. And I'll tell you, the biggest challenge is how silent the churches are. The churches, many, many churches, they don't want to make any waves. And they are not only ignoring, some of them are even condoning it on the basis of, oh, we have to love everybody. We have to sing Kumbaya with everybody. Have you read the Gospels? I don't see Jesus condoning evil.
No. Well, you know, and you have to balance. I was reading something off of a website this morning that was, you know, talking about, you know, Jesus is, was a, you know, radical and he forgave everybody. And you know what? If all Jesus's message was love and forgive, then the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Romans would never have crucified him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They wouldn't have crucified him. He was a threat to them because he challenged their authority. He was a threat to them because he called them out for the things that they were doing. I mean, he goes so far as to call the Sadducees and Pharisees who said, you know, we're children of Abraham. He says, no, you're not. You're sons of the devil.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't recollect, you know, in the vernacular of today, the idea that if you said to somebody, you're a son of the devil, they're going to say, oh, that's such a loving statement. Thank you. I don't see that as the commentary that would be associated with that. And it's so easy to forget. Now, why did he do that? Well, he did that out of a heart of love. I don't question that, because it's all, everything we're doing is out of a heart of love. We're calling out the evil out of a heart of love because we understand that evil, that sin is the enemy of man. It is our mortal enemy, and its purpose, it is the weapon of the enemy to destroy us. It's destructive. And going back to the analogy of cancer, I mean, there is no such thing as a good, hey, this is a good cancer to get. That's not, no, there's not a good cancer to get. There may be some cancers that are, go ahead.
About sin, well, it's a little sin. It's a little sin.
Yeah.
I don't do the big sins. I just do the little sins, you know. If you want to go to the root of it, the root of it is not having an understanding of who Jesus is, of who God is, and the total victory of the cross.
Amen. There you go.
Many Christians have such a superficial understanding of the cross, and that's why they live defeated lives. They don't understand the radical transformation that Christ can make in your life. You are a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
People read that, but they don't believe it.
No.
They don't believe it.
No, no. Unfortunately, there is a lack of understanding. And I think that really, you know, you could make a really strong case that it boils down to faith and a real understanding of what faith means. And what it does, because if you have that faith and you understand the gift of faith that you've been given, then you can believe it. I remember as a young person, I'm going to talk about this tonight in the study, but as a young person, say, you know, being told, well, you know, if you say that you're perfect, then now you've sinned because you said you were perfect, so now you're arrogant or prideful, so now you've sinned. Well, no, that's a lie, because God says that He has perfected us.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Those are the verses.
Don't understand and realize how radical salvation was. This is why I keep quoting my studies, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we may become, or we may be made, the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. He became who we were, that we may become who He is. At the cross, who you were ceased to exist,
yep.
And you became a new creation,
yep.
As righteous as Jesus Christ. He took your sin and He put His righteousness in you. And that's why Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know, if you read Romans 8:1, it actually has another part of it that says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the earliest manuscripts, the second part of Romans 8:1 is not there.
Yeah.
It was copied by the scribes later on from verse 4 onto verse 1 to justify their theology. Romans 8:1 is an unconditional promise. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. Because Jesus took all the condemnation upon Himself, so you don't have to carry it.
And that's the key note, what you said. You know, we have been given the righteousness of Christ. And and so, you know, folks, just hear me for a second. Is there any sin in Christ? In His righteousness, is there any sin? And their answer is no, there isn't any. So therefore, if you have taken on the righteousness of Christ, then you have been perfected. Yes. Now the onus is not on you, because it's a done thing.
Yes.
Now it's a matter of accepting it and just walking it out. Just you know, walk in it.
If you really truly believe and understand Romans 8:1, the devil cannot condemn you, because the Romans 8:1 says that there's now no condemnation. Jesus took all the condemnation upon Himself, so you tell the devil, get. You have no place in my life. And you cast him out.
Well, and I know, folks, you know, if you're sitting there, you may say, well, yeah, but you know, but I do this or I do that. I'm telling you today, you're free from it. If you renew your mind and recognize it, you're free Amen. From it. You don't have to keep doing it. That habit has actually been broken. It was put on the cross.
You know, the Paul says that it is impossible to sin in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh.
Amen.
So the enemy of the Spirit is not the old nature, it's the flesh, which is the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. If you're not focused on the Word of God, your mind can drive you to sin, but it's not an old nature. It's just your mind that is unredeemed, and you have to renew it by the Word of God.
Yep, fill it up with His thoughts. Well, we're at the end of our time. Raphael, thank you so very much. What a blessing.
A blessing, my brother. Thank you so very much. I speak blessings upon you and your whole family, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, we're going to take our break. Dr. Michael Schwartz joins us on the other side. We'll expose the Fauci lies coming up right after this brief break.
I got to get off. I have a meeting in a minute.